God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson on this edition of The Encouraging Word. Eight keys to knowing God's will. That's what we'll discover today as we head to 2 Corinthians in just a moment. But know that we're here for you. 866-899-WORD will connect you, or online at theencouragingword.org. We're here for you. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilson.
Today we're going to be looking at a remarkable subject. And in fact, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. I'm not going to read to you the scriptures just yet, because I need to introduce this marvelous subject to you today. I'm going to submit to you that if I was to ask of you today, what do you consider to be the single most important thing that you as a Christian man or a Christian lady need to be doing? I wonder what kind of answer you would come up with. Now, I dare say if we were to take a poll, we'd come up with a lot of opinions. We see a lot of polls these days and a lot of opinions, don't we? But I'm talking about ivotegod.com right now. I'm talking as far as my relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ as a Christian man, as a Christian lady. What is singularly important for me to do as a Christian man? I dare say if we were to volunteer what we think that ought to be, I think everything we would say probably would be absolutely critically important. But I'm going to submit to you that knowing and doing God's will must occupy a place of major prominence in the life of all believers. Now, friends, listen to this. Every one of us, every day, have to make decisions. We know that. I don't even need to convince you of that. We are a decision-making people. We need to know, do we turn right or do we turn left? Business people, constantly, do I need to expand my business? Do I need to open a new market? Do I need to go overseas? Do I need to close down my business? I meet people every day. They are presented with two job opportunities. Both are very good. Should I take this job or should I take that job? People all the time go to hospital and they have physical needs and the doctor says, listen, you've got a choice here. You can either do this or you can do that. How do we know which one to do? College students, special word for you. High school graduates, all the seniors this year, I promise you. I know because I've been there and I'll be there again. Moms and dads are running around visiting colleges all over the place. I know I've been there, my wife and I. Go to this college, that college, and every college throws their very best at you. Where can we get scholarships? What is this? Does this offer? Do I go here? Do I go there? How do you know which college to go to? I'm talking to you as a Christian person. If you're going to talk as a Christian person, you've got to see beyond the football. You got to see beyond the program. As you march according to a different drumbeat, what's important? I've met people constantly who fall in love. Should I marry him or shouldn't I? Well, how do you know whether you should or you shouldn't? Maybe you are planning to adopt a child. How do you know whether or not you should adopt a child or not? Well, we could go on and on. Now, here's what I want us to do, folks, before we open the Bible. You're at 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at Paul. Because the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 15 had made all kinds of plans to go and visit the people in Corinth, but God changed his plans. In fact, there were a whole lot of people who were looking forward to seeing him. And Paul wrote to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, listen, I've had to change my plans and here's the reason why. This is why I cannot come and see you. All right. I want to give to you right out the front, right out the hatch, five steps that must be taken. If you are going to know and do the will of God, these are five indispensable steps that you cannot do without. I want to give them to you. Here I am, And I know that I'm faced with a decision. Step number one, talk to God. Step number one, have a conversation with God. Now, folks, I'm going to say to you that I know that you look at me and you say, well, he's our pastor. He is just all the time talking to God. I want to make an announcement today. No, I am not. My life gets awfully encumbered with good things. And folk, let me tell you something. In the daily habitation of my life, can I be honest with you today? I get too busy to talk to God. Now, I'm going to tell you that right up front. There are some times that I'll go through an entire day doing all kinds of wonderful things, and at the end of the day, I have to admit to you, I haven't had a conversation with God. And some of you need to fess up. Some of us, we sound awful spiritual and we say, oh yes, you know, I belong to the Lord and He's my guiding light and I don't know what to do. Your problem is you haven't even had a conversation with God. Number one, talk to God. He wants to have a conversation with you. Number two, read the Bible. Second indispensable step, read the Bible. You say, well, here we go again. Elementary, dear Watson. Friend, I want to submit to you that the Bible tells me that it is this word, watch this, that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. All right, if I don't read the Word of God, what am I doing? I'm eliminating the light. I just turned the light off. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you, on anybody to raise your hands, how many of you today can genuinely say since last Sunday that you've read the Word of God? Is it possible there could be someone here today? God knows this. Last time you opened the Bible was last Sunday. And then you open it to Hebrews. This morning you were totally lost because your Bible fell open to Hebrews. And you said, what's Corinthians? And you had to actually turn there. Now, folks, listen to me. The Bible says God's Word is my lamp and my light. So step number two in knowing God's Word is to do what? Read God's Word. Now, you're going to be surprised at something because every time you read God's Word, God is going to speak to you. He does it all the time by His Spirit through His Word. Have a conversation with God. Number two, read the Bible. Number three, step number three, I love this one, listen to godly advice. If you want to be in the middle of God's will, listen to godly advice. Now you might say to me, well, Pastor, who in the world falls into that category? Those kinds of people are everywhere. Just look around you. Boys and girls, begin with mom and dad. That's why the Bible says, children, what? Obey your parents. You know why the Bible says that? Because God has given to you your mom and dad, and they are going to give you godly advice. By the way, when you find a teenager who starts smoking, drinking, running around, being immoral, angry, out of whack, tell me one thing that's happened in that teenager's life. I'll guarantee you, common denominator. They stopped obeying their parents. It's a biblical principle. Mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to do my own thing. Now watch this, folks. We're talking about knowing and doing the will of God. Listen to godly advice. My own life is constantly blessed, beginning with my own wife, my children, the ministry team in this church, godliest men and women I've ever been around. There are hundreds of people like that in this church. Everywhere I turn, God puts in position, the right time, in the right place, people who give to each other godly advice. All right, step number four. Look at the end result. Look at the end result. You're going to say, now, wait a minute, Pastor. How can I, a human being, look beyond the beginning? How can I start now for the finish tomorrow? How can I look at the end result? Watch this. You can. We're going to discover this as we go through what happened to Paul, the eight keys to knowing and doing God's will. Friend, watch me. If what it is that I'm about to do, expand my business, take a new job, go to this college, do this, do that, turn left, turn right, whatever it is that I'm doing, and I'm about to embark on that, what will it result in? Will it result in God having a happy heart, if I can say it that way? Will God be pleased with what I am going to do because it has the ability to produce that which is pleasing to God? I have people come to me from time and time and say, listen, I'm madly in love with him. Now, I know that he smokes, he drinks, he cusses, he beats up people, he gets angry, he loses his temper, he doesn't go to church, and he blasphemes, but it doesn't matter, I'm in love with him. I'm being hyper-ridiculous here, folks. You got any more questions as to whether or not you should marry him? You think that's going to please God? You want me to help you look at the end result? And I say this with all the love of my heart. You young ladies, you need to open your eyes. I'm telling you, the young girls, man, you talk about love is blind. I have seen young girls just swept off their feet because old Joe down the road comes along. Doesn't matter what he does, what he says, how he behaves. Oh, he's just the cutest little muffin chops I've ever met in my life. The moment you marry him, he muffin chop you to death. And I tell you, I can parade in front of you broken hearts ad infinitum, folks. Destroyed lives. Because somebody married outside the will of God. All right, here it is. Number five. I love this. Take action. You're going to love this, folks. Take action. If you want to do the will of God, in order to do the will of God, watch this. Do it. Now, here's what we Christians do. We say, you know, I think God's speaking to me. And so we start doing doggy paddle. And we do doggy paddle. Say, you know, I tell you, I got to do this or do that, and I know this and I know that. Yes, I've talked to God. I've read the Bible. I'm listening to godly advice. I know this is going to please God, but I'm just still worrying about it. Well, I'm just going to do doggy paddle. Now, I wonder whether I should do this. I just wonder, yes, now one day I'm going to do this. And you do doggy paddle. Stop doing doggy paddle and do it. Now, watch this, folks. All right, Eddie, would you stand up, please? Eddie Robertson. Eddie, here's what I want you to do right now, okay? Because you're our minister of recreation. I want you to run through that door as hard as you can, but don't open the door. I just want you to put your head down. All right? You seem to be hesitating, Eddie. Why is Gina holding onto your leg like that? Now watch this, folks. Watch this. Watch this. What does God tell us that he'll do? God opens doors and God closes doors. Do you believe that or don't you? Watch this. God opens doors. God closes doors. How do you know whether a door is open or closed? Walk through it. Are you listening this morning? Don't do doggy paddle. So here it is. I have talked to God. I've read the Bible and I've listened to it. I've listened to godly advice to the best of my ability. I've tried to look at what it is going to produce in me if I follow through with this. And all factors to consider, I'm saying to myself, you know, I really believe this is what God wants me to do. Stand up. Here I come. Now, what's going to happen when I walk through that door? One of two things is going to happen. I'm going to walk through that door, and guess what? The door's wide open. But alternatively, I'm going to walk not through that door. I'm going to walk into that door. And all of a sudden, having made that decision, Here come the obstacles. Young lady came to see me about 4 or 5 years ago. Very happily married today. She's probably sitting in this congregation. She came to me about 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago. And she said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you privately. Nobody needs to know." I said, "That's fine." She said, "I am in love with this man." I said, "That's wonderful." She said, "But you know, I said, "Okay, let's talk about it." We talked about this man. Oh, he is Puffykins and muffin chops. I mean, he was everything. I said to her eventually, after about a 20-minute conversation, "Enough talk. Here's what we need to do. You say you've talked to God and listened to this and that. You've done it all." I said, "Let's put down a date on our calendar here. You want me to marry you, it's going to be tough to get me on your calendar." So I said, "We're looking a year ahead." So we ummed and ahed. We got a date. I said, "Now you need to go to Miss Briskin next door here and you need to work with her and get everything together." And I said, "And I'll tell you what, seeing you haven't told anybody, what is the telephone number of your mom and dad? Let's call them right now and tell them the good news." She said, "Hold on. Whoa. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Man, I don't know. You know, I said, "No, well, let's just call your mom and dad and tell them about your wedding plan." She said, "Hold on." I said, "What do you mean, hold on?" You know what I finally said to her, folks? "Don't marry that man." You see, when we put the date down, she got up and took action. And the moment she walked toward that door, guess what happened? It closed. It wasn't open. She ran into a brick wall. Folks, let me ask you something. Do you think God loves us enough to show us the way? Now, I want to take this and I want to show you something here in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read to you just one verse. But I'm going to draw what I'm saying from verse 12 through verse 24. Look at verse 12. Paul says this. "Now, this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace." Let me give to you the 8 keys to knowing God's will. Here you are, you've got up. Watch this, folks. You've talked to God. You've read the Word of God. You've heard His Spirit speak. You've listened to godly advice. You've checked the end result to the best of your ability. You're getting up now and you're taking action. How do you know that you're in God's will? Number one, your conscience will be clear. Verse 12, that's what Paul speaks about. Now, friends, let me just point this out to you. There is a tremendous difference when one talks about conscience between the difference between knowing between right and wrong and knowing the difference between the holiness and righteousness of God and the sinfulness of mankind. Paul is not talking about conscience here in terms of the difference between right and wrong. Paul is talking about a clear conscience in terms of the righteousness of God. In other words, that I am doing right by God because God is pure and holy and righteous. So here's the question I'm going to ask you. You are embarking on this journey. Is your conscience clear? I will guarantee you, if you have a troubled mind, you're not doing what God wants you to do. By the way, Paul put it like this. He said, "Be anxious for nothing. In every way, let your requests be made known to God." Watch this. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Paul here says, "I've got to change my plans. This is what God wants me to do. I'm telling you what's happening, and my conscience is clear. I have peace in my heart." Number two, second key, your conduct will be holy and sincere. He says here in verse 12, he says, "We have conducted ourselves in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. Godly actions are always accompanied by godly conduct. I want you to write that in your heart, my friend. Godly actions are always accompanied by godly conduct. Your behavior will match what you're doing. And if your conscience is clear and you are in the middle of God's word and in the middle of God's way, your conduct will match your decision, the thing that you're doing. Key number two concerns your conduct. Number three, the third key, your source will be certain. He says in the latter part there of verse 12, he says, we have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. I love that phrase there, God's grace. What Paul is saying here is this. The moment I stand up and I take action and I walk through that door, God's grace, because He is my source, He is the only one that can give it to me. His grace comes upon me. My source is certain. And when you talk about the source, you're talking about the means by which I am nourished for the journey. What does God's grace do for me? God's grace gives me strength, gives me the ability to keep going. What kind of grace is it? It's God's unmerited grace. I don't deserve it, but because I'm doing what God wants me to do, I find myself all covered over with the grace of God. Young people, here you are. You're deciding whether to go to this college or that college. Stand up and take action. Don't hover. Take action. God's spoken to you. You believe it. You've gone through it. You've listened to godly advice. All factors considered. And you're ready to say, look, I'm going to do this. Sign on that dotted line. Start taking action. Here's what happens. Your conscience will be clear. You'll have peace in your heart. Your conduct will accompany your action. It will be holy and sincere. And number three, your source will be certain. In other words, the fountainhead of your assurance will be the outpouring of grace upon you. Paul prayed that prayer for the church. He said, may God's grace be upon you. Number four, your confidence will be sure. He says in verse 14, he says, as you've understood in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we boast of you. Listen, when Paul spoke about boasting, he wasn't talking about bragging or about personal efforts to self-aggrandize. He was talking about being sure of the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. Years ago, when my wife and I came to the point we knew God had called us into the ministry, God began to speak to our hearts, and we realized that the door was opening to leave even our country and to come to the United States of America. Folks, how do you ever make a decision like that? How do you get to the point to leave your parents and your family and your friends and your schools and your family? How do you get to the point? Well, you make that decision. I'm telling you, folks, the day we made that decision, the day we made it, our confidence was sure. Our conscience was clear. Our conduct accompanied that. Our source was certain because God's grace began to be poured out upon us. Our confidence was certain. Friend, I've told 1,000 people over the years, I just know, I know that God called me to be a preacher of the ministry. Listen, folks, when God called me to Spartanburg, to this beautiful place, I have said 100 times, my wife and I, our confidence is sure. God made the decision. God made the decision. Our confidence is sure. Number five, your plans will be serious. Now, I don't have time to go from verse 15 through verse 17, but I'm going to tell you, Paul laid out his plans there. What is God saying to us? Listen to this. Listen. We often laugh with each other. I love it because I have all these eagles around me. Here comes Britt Dillard, Britt Dillard says to me, Pastor, man, this, we got all this. God is speaking. And I say to Britt, as we say to each other, Britt, let me tell you something. Write it down. Now, let me give you a clue here, folks. If you want to know whether or not you're in God's will, write it down. One piece of paper. I don't like flipping pages. Give it to me on one piece of paper. The whole kit and caboodle. The whole plan. You mean on one sheet of paper. Number one, number two, number three, number four. Watch this. If you can't write it down, you're not serious. God's not in it. Any questions? Don't come and talk about it. You can plan until the cows come home. Write it down. You have a business today, one of the greatest things you can teach your people to do in your business. Take plans, write it down, put it down. On one page, succinctly summarize it. Here's what happens. You want to know you're in God's will? Your plans will be serious. Otherwise, you'll do doggy paddle. All right, number six, your promises will be firm. Your promises will be firm. From verse 18 through verse 22, Paul tells us, summarize it in this way. Your yes will be yes. Your no will be no. If you're in God's will, folks, I will guarantee your promises will be firm because God's involved. He tells us about that. He anoints us. He puts a seal upon us because of His ownership, and He puts His Spirit in us. When God tells us that He indwells us, He is extremely firm with His promises. You can take it to the bank. When I'm in the middle of God's Word, my promise is firm because God is speaking to me. My yeas are yea, and my nays are nay. Number seven, your witness will be God. Look at verse 23. Boy, here's a tough one. How do I know that I'm in God's will? Number seven, your witness will be God. Bottom line, I call God as my witness. Now, friend, can you say that today? You just changed jobs. You just adopted a child. You're just starting a family. You're just going to this university. Can you say, I call God as my witness? Can you hear that? That's powerful, folks. Number eight. I love this last point. Your faith will be strengthened. Your faith will be strengthened. Look at verse 24. He says in the latter part, he says, because it is by faith that you stand firm. Your faith will be strengthened. Remember looking at the end from the beginning? Folk, let me tell you something. If you're in God's will, I will guarantee you, your faith is being strengthened.
Our time's gone for today, but we're connecting 24 hours a day at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org or 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. Now, tomorrow, Dr. Don's message is about finding strength in your weakness. It's a powerful message I cannot wait to share with you. I hope you'll join us and maybe invite a friend to join us for tomorrow's broadcast of The Encouraging Word.